So picture this. It is 2 a.m. You are staring at your Vercel dashboard, and it's just spewing this endless waterfall of cryptic JSON data.
Oh, yeah. The classic late night panic. Just unreadable logs scrolling by.
Right. And, you know, because of a Slack alert or whatever that a bug is actively failing for, like 8% of your users, they literally can't check out. And for the first time in your entire 15-year career,
you have absolutely no server to SSH into.
Exactly. There is no server. Okay, let's unpack this, because today we are pulling from Module 13 of this massive course on the modern web and DevOps landscape. And our mission for this deep dive is super specific.
We are mapping your battle-tested traditional WordPress debugging tactics to this completely new distributed modern web stack.
Yeah, because reading through this module, that opening 2 a.m. scenario, I mean, it hit me right in the chest. Because if you think about your old comfort zone, right? When something broke in production on a classic LAMP stack, you had literal muscle memory for how to fix it.
Oh, totally. You just fire up the terminal?
Right. You'd run, like, /p28104, navigate straight to that public TML folder, and just type tailed off error log.
And then you just refresh the broken page yourself.
Yeah.
And watch the specific PHP errors scream by in real time.
Exactly. Or, you know, if you needed more depth, you'd flip on wp-debug in your bepi config file and scroll through the local debug.log to find the exact stack trace. I mean, it was crude and it was manual, but...
But you had your hands directly on the engine block. You were the mechanic under the hood.
Yeah, you could touch the files.
Yeah.
But now, when you transition to a modern architecture, like... Say you have a Next.js application hosted on Vercel, talking to a managed PostgreSQL database over on Supabase.
And maybe pulling content from some headless CMS somewhere else entirely.
Right. That engine block is just shattered. It's distributed across data centers globally. There is no central error log file sitting in a directory because, well, there's no single directory anymore.
And that dilemma, that exact panic of missing the server, is what birthed the whole engineering discipline known as observability.
Observability. Which I guess we need to define for someone stepping into this for the first time.
Yeah, so observability is essentially the practice of understanding exactly what is happening inside your application entirely by analyzing the data it emits to the outside.
Like inferring the internal state without actually looking inside.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you can't look inside. You don't own the infrastructure anymore.
Okay, so the module breaks this down into a few different categories of data to make it manageable. And the most familiar starting point for a WordPress dev is obviously logs.
Right, but the concept of a log has to change completely.
Yeah, because if reading your old WordPress error log is like reading a single sequential diary entry, you know, like, Dear Diary, today at 2 p.m., the database timed out.
Right, very linear.
But logging in a distributed system is like trying to read 1,000 different diaries at the exact same time, written by different people in different time zones. You just can't read them sequentially.
Which fundamentally changes the mechanism of how we log. In the old days, like you said, logs are just plain text.
Right.
But in the modern stack, logs absolutely must be structured as JSON.
So no more plain English sentences.
Exactly. Instead of writing user 42 failed to log in, the system outputs a JSON object with specific key value pairs. So it's like event type, login failure, userid 42, browser, Chrome.
Oh, I see. So it turns a text file into something you can actually search.
Spot on. By structuring the logs, you can dump those thousands of global diaries into a centralized aggregator and instantly query it. You can literally just say, show me every log entry across the entire planet where userid equals 42.
Okay, that makes sense. But even with structured JSON, if you have high traffic, I mean, those logs have to become overwhelmingly noisy, right?
Oh, incredibly noisy. You can't spot broader trends by reading individual JSON entries, even if they're perfectly organized.
Right. You need a zoomed out view. Which I guess introduces the next layer of observability from the module, metrics.
Yeah. Logs tell you an event happened, but metrics give you the actual numerical measurement of the system's health over time.
Yeah.
So we're looking at data points like requests per second, error rates, CPU usage, and most importantly, latency.
Okay. Latency introduces a metric that I think is super crucial to unpack for anyone coming from the WP world, which is P95, because... You know, if a client asked us about page speed in the past, we usually just opened up some tool and looked at an average load time.
Right. I mean...
Yeah. But the modern stack seems to obsess over P95 latency. Why is that specific calculation so much more valuable than just an average?
Because averages are notoriously deceptive.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. If you have 9 requests that take 10 milliseconds and one request that takes, say, 5 full seconds because a database query locked up,
the average still looks pretty good.
Exactly. It hides the catastrophic failure.
Yeah.
Average might be half a second, which seems fine.
Yeah.
But one user just had a miserable experience. So P95 latency measures the time it takes for the fastest 95% of your requests to complete. It essentially isolates the worst 5% of your user experiences.
Okay. So if your P95 is dropping, it means you are actually fixing the outliers.
Yes. Yep. You're making the application consistently reliable for almost everyone instead of just smoothing over bad data with a mathematical average.
And the major shift here is really how you get that data, right? Because in WordPress, getting deep performance metrics meant bolting on a third-party agent. Like, you'd install New Relic, tweak server configs, pay a hefty premium.
It was a whole project just to get the monitoring set up.
Right, but since modern cloud platforms like AWS or Vercel manage the infrastructure, they already know how long requests take. They just expose these metrics natively.
Build right into the dashboard.
Yeah, but here's my question. You look at your dashboard, you see your P95 latency is spiking to 3 seconds. But metrics don't tell you what is causing the delay, right? They just tell you a delay exists.
That's the blind spot of metrics, yes.
So how do you find the bottleneck when a single user request might touch like 5 different external APIs?
Well, that gap in visibility requires the third pillar, traces. A trace maps the exact journey of one specific request as it flows through the entire distributed system.
Wait, I really want to understand the mechanics of this, because if a user clicks submit order, that request hits a CDN edge network, routes to a serverless node function, queries a database, and then, I don't know, pings the Strike API.
Right, a very standard modern flow.
Like, those are completely separate servers. How does the observability platform know that all those distinct actions belong to the exact same user clicking that one specific button?
It relies on a mechanism called distributed context propagation.
Okay, that sounds like a textbook term. What does it actually do?
Basically, when that initial request hits the very first node, like the edge network, the system generates a unique cryptographically random string. This is called a trace ID.
Okay, a trace ID.
And then it injects that trace ID into the HTTP headers of every single subsequent request. So when the node function calls the database, it passes the trace ID. When it calls Stripe, it passes the trace ID.
Oh. So it leaves a trail of breadcrumbs across the whole internet.
Exactly. And finally, the observability tool collects all the data from all those different servers, matches up the shared trace IDs, and visually reconstructs it into a waterfall chart.
That's wild. So you can see, clear as day, that the edge took 10 milliseconds, the function took 50, but the database query dragged on for like 3,000 milliseconds.
Spot on. You know exactly who to blame.
You know, the closest analog we had to this was using a plugin like Query Monitor or maybe the WordPress debug bar to see which specific MySQL queries were bogging down a local page load. But tracing literally scales that concept across the entire internet.
It does. And that brings us to the final piece of the puzzle here, error tracking.
Right.
This is where all these individual streams of data, the structured logs, the latency metrics, the waterfall traces, they all synthesize into actionable context.
Because error tracking tools don't just alert you that a crash happened.
No, they give you the specific error, exactly how many users are impacted, the specific code commit that introduced the bug, and the full trace of what led up to it.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the entire paradigm really shifts from reactive debugging to proactive instrumentation. Because production runs on someone else's ephemeral servers, you just have to assume things will break.
You build this instrumentation into the foundation on day one. You don't duct tape it on after a fire starts like we used to.
Okay, so let's make this concrete for the listener and actually build this 2026 observability dashboard. Here's where it gets really interesting. If we are replacing the old, trusty, local ALMP stack, what does our modern tool belt actually look like?
Well, the module lays out a pretty clear standard stack. Sentry seems to be the absolute dominant player for error tracking.
Yeah, Sentry is essentially what TailF Aerolog always dreamed of being.
Exactly. And for managing those massive volumes of structured logs we talked about, you see teams adopting tools like Axiom, BetterStack, or Logflare. They basically function like an instantaneous global search engine across all your distributed files.
Okay, so Sentry for errors, Axiom for logs. What about metrics?
For performance metrics and traffic, Vercel Analytics provides incredibly deep first-party data right out of the box.
And for user analytics, I mean, we're not using Jetpack stats anymore, right?
Definitely not. Privacy-first tools like Plausible, Fathom, or Umami have largely replaced those old widgets or bloated Google Analytics scripts.
So if I'm spinning up a small SaaS or a client site today, a highly effective default stack is Sentry, Axiom, Vercel Analytics, and Plausible. And the module estimates this runs roughly $40 to $100 a month for a small to mid-sized project.
Which is pretty reasonable when you consider it completely replaces the ad hoc setup of the past.
Oh, absolutely. And it's worth noting, the source specifically mentions Sentry has a robust PHP SDK.
Right. You don't have to wait until you build a Next.js app to use it.
Yeah.
You can drop Sentry into an existing legacy WordPress site in about an hour and experience modern error tracking immediately.
That's a great tip for anyone wanting to dip their toes in. But swapping tools is one thing. What this dashboard enables is a complete transformation of your daily workflow. The source material highlights three distinct practical wins. And the first one is that ignorance is just no longer an acceptable default state.
Yeah, you can't hide behind works on my machine anymore.
I remember the old routine vividly. A user emails support, the checkout is broken. You reply asking what browser they use. You try to reproduce it locally, you can't. And you just default to that classic developer defense. You literally just had to accept partial blindness in production.
But by utilizing Sentry, before the user even navigates away from the broken page, your Slack channel gets an alert. Sentry intercepts the error natively. And because of the tracing we discussed, it captures a breadcrumb trail. It hooks into the browser's DOM events and network requests, so it literally tells you. John Doe clicked the Add to Cart button, waited 2 seconds, triggered a network timeout, and then the application threw a specific fatal exception.
You bypass the customer support loop entirely. Bugs go from these mysterious help desk tickets to being fixed within the hour.
That level of context is just incredible.
Yeah. And the second major win the module outlines is that performance becomes a measurable, objective deliverable. I mean, this is massive for freelancers and agencies.
Because you're not just guessing anymore.
Exactly. Instead of guessing if a new theme implementation feels faster by hard refreshing your local browser and staring at the network tab, Vercel Analytics gives you real user metrics. You deploy a code change, and you literally watch the P95 latency curve shift on the graph for actual visitors. It proves the value of your work objectively.
And the third win relates to the broader shift in how the web handles data. Privacy analytics become truly viable. The modern stack is actively defaulting away from surveillance-heavy tracking.
Tools like Plausible and Fathom, they're faster, they are significantly cheaper than enterprise tracking suites, and crucially, they operate entirely without cookies.
Right, they focus solely on the metrics a business actually needs, like page views, refers, basic conversions.
Without attempting to track the user's behavior across the rest of the internet.
Exactly.
Okay, I am going to push back here for a second.
Go for it.
Because I hear all of this Sentry catching every crash, Axiom organizing the logs, Plausible protecting privacy, latency curves dropping. It all sounds amazing. But we are talking about setting up 4 different SaaS vendors, managing API keys for all of them, and paying separate monthly bills just to replace what a $20 DigitalOcean droplet and a simple LMP stack used to do natively.
It's a lot of moving parts.
It sounds incredibly fragile. Aren't we just treating server maintenance for vendor lock-in and a massive layer of complexity? I mean, the DevOps hype train makes this sound flawless, but there have to be massive traps hidden in this architecture.
Well, the complexity is a very valid critique. And if you treat this modern tool chain like a magic zero configuration black box, it will absolutely punish you.
Okay, so what are the traps?
The module dedicates a significant section to these exact pitfalls, starting with a crucial mechanism called source maps.
Oh, this is a classic stumbling block, because in modern JavaScript frameworks, the code you write is not the code that actually runs in the browser.
Not even close. Modern continuous integration pipelines take your pristine React or Svelte components and they minify them. They strip out spaces, shorten variable names to single letters, and bundle everything into an unreadable block of dense text.
Just to minimize the file size sent to the user.
Right. But the trap is that when an error occurs in the browser, Sentry catches it, but the error points to, like, line 1, character 40,000 of a minified file.
Which is utterly useless.
Without context, yes. Completely useless.
So how do you make Sentry understand that minified gibberish?
You have to configure your CI pipeline to generate and upload source maps to Sentry during the build process. A source map acts like a reverse dictionary for your code. When Sentry receives the minified error, it uses the uploaded source map to instantly translate that error back to the exact line of your original readable repository code.
Okay, but what's the trap? That sounds like a solution.
The trap is that CI pipelines can be incredibly brittle. If your source map upload step fails silently during a deployment, your error tracking is effectively dead on arrival, and you won't even know until production breaks and you're staring at an unreadable stack trace.
Yikes. That makes the deployment pipeline a critical point of failure.
It really does.
Okay, trap number two revolves around the financial cost of logging. We talked about having 1,000 diaries earlier. Every time your application writes a JSON entry into one of those diaries, you pay for the storage and the ingestion, right?
Every single line costs fractions of a cent, but it adds up.
Because in the WordPress days, leaving an error log statement in a loop might bloat a local text file by a few megabytes. It was messy, sure, but it was free.
But in a distributed serverless architecture, if you accidentally leave a console.log inside a hot path, say, a function that executes on every single page load, you will generate millions of JSON entries in a matter of hours.
Oh, wow.
And the log providers, they will happily ingest all of them, and they will charge you for every single one. You have to enforce strict discipline. Debug logging must be disabled in production environments through environment variables unless you are actively investigating an incident.
Which leads directly into trap number three, the cost of tracing. If distributed context propagation relies on generating a trace ID and tracking the headers across multiple systems for a single user, doing that for 100,000 users sounds computationally and financially expensive.
It scales linearly. If your traffic spikes tenfold, your tracing ingestion bill spikes tenfold.
So how do you not go bankrupt if a blog post goes viral?
To prevent tracing from bankrupting the project, you have to implement sampling. You just don't need a full waterfall chart for every single successful page load.
Right.
So you configure your observability platform to record, for example, 100% of the traces where an error flag is thrown, but only retain a 5% sample of successful requests.
Oh, that makes sense. But does it break the trace if you're dropping data?
No. The mechanism works by passing the trace ID through the headers, so the full context is maintained during the request. But the aggregator just drops the payload upon receipt unless the application signals that something went wrong.
That sampling mechanism is brilliant, but it requires explicit configuration. If you just leave it on default, you hit trap number four, free tier exhaustion.
Yes, the classic cloud billing trap.
The source module warns that these platforms have hard limits. Sentry, for example, offers a generous free tier of a few thousand events a month. But if you deploy a bug that triggers an error inside a front-end rendering loop, it might fire 50,000 times in 20 minutes.
Oh, easy.
You will blow through your quota instantly, and Sentry will just stop recording new errors right when you desperately need the visibility to fix the bug. Setting up strict billing alerts and rate limits on your quota is absolutely mandatory.
All of these financial and technical traps require vigilance, but the final trap the module covers is arguably the most complex, the tension between deep observability and user privacy.
This raises an important question, actually, because observability is entirely predicated on capturing as much context as humanly possible, right? The more data you have, the better the debugging.
Exactly.
But user privacy, especially with modern regulations, demands data minimization. How do you reconcile that?
It is a really delicate balance. Some observability platforms, like PostHog, offer a feature called Session Replay. It literally captures DOM snapshots as the user interacts with the page, allowing you to watch a video-like playback of where they move their mouse, what they clicked, and what they type.
I've seen that. It is the ultimate debugging context.
It is. However, capturing that level of granular detail alongside full error stack traces means you might accidentally ingest personally identifiable information.
Right, like an email address accidentally logged in an error payload, or a credit card number temporarily held in state that gets swept up in a crash report.
And suddenly, your debugging tool has put you in direct violation of GDPR and other privacy frameworks. You cannot install these modern tools blindly.
So what's the mitigation there?
You have to actively audit what your application emits. You must implement mechanisms like Sentry's data scrubbers, which utilize regular expressions to automatically detect and strip out passwords, API keys, and email addresses from the data payloads before they ever leave your server.
Okay, so to synthesize this entire journey for our listeners, you are evolving from a localized manual mindset where you inspect the plumbing yourself to a highly automated distributed mindset. The complexity of the cloud dictates that you build the instrumentation into the walls of the house before anyone even moves in, and you must actively manage the flood of data that instrumentation creates.
It is a profound professional evolution. It really is. And for those ready to develop a deeper, intuitive understanding of this architecture, the Source module provides some concrete next steps.
What do they recommend?
First, search YouTube for talks by Charity Majors on the three pillars of observability. They are typically around 30 minutes and provide an exceptional high-level framing of the shift from monitoring to observability.
Awesome. And on the practical side, search for the official Sentry tutorial video to see the actual mechanics of setting up CI source maps and triaging real errors. You should also take the time to read through the official documentation for Vercel Analytics and PostHoc. You don't need to memorize them, but skimming the docs will help you comprehend the sheer scope of what these modern platforms are actually capable of tracking.
Definitely. And as a quick preview for the listener, the next module in this web landscape course pivots entirely away from back-end infrastructure.
Oh yeah, we're heading to the front end.
We are diving into the modern front end, dissecting utility-first frameworks like Tailwind CSS, component libraries like ShadNui, and the new design system paradigm that is completely replacing the traditional WordPress theme style sheet hierarchy.
That is going to be another massive conceptual shift. But before we wrap up today's deep dive, I want to leave you with a final thought derived from our sources. It is the ultimate irony of the modern web stack.
The irony of the serverless world.
Exactly. By abstracting away the server, by forcing us to surrender the comfort of SSH and the simplicity of the old era log, the industry effectively forced our hand. They forced developers to build sophisticated observability systems that finally provide a crystal clear, measurable, and objective picture of what our code is actually doing to the end user.
The loss of physical proximity mandated the creation of superior remote visibility.
Precisely. So, as you close out your terminal today, I want you to mull this over. Did losing control of the server actually give you more control over the user experience? We will let you sit with that one. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.